Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. When family is all that matters, make sure they're protected. Visit Zurich.ie to learn more about life and serious illness cover.
Now, as you know, on this programme, we've talked extensively about text and online scams. We've received numerous texts and emails from listeners who've been caught out. We even heard from one woman who was caught up in a sophisticated Revolut scam and lost €10,000 as a result. Well, today, Comreg has just published a consultation process on how to reduce the harm from scam calls and texts. The telecoms regulator has branded these scams a blight on society and says that it causes significant financial and economic damage to all sectors of society. George Merrigan is Director of Market Framework with Comreg. He joins us now. George, you're welcome to the programme this evening. You might just tell us firstly exactly what is the watchdog's role in the regulation of text and phone scams?
Yeah, certainly, sir. Good evening. How are you? Well, Comreg is focusing on a number of interventions to combat scam calls and texts. And our interest in this is the serious misuse of telephone numbers. I mean, fraud is obviously a matter for the Gardaí, but it's the serious misuse of telephone numbers that's our area of prime concern here. So in putting together the interventions that we designed, we've had very valuable input from the telecommunications industry via Comreg's Nuisance Communications Task Force, which we established early last year.
Okay, and as you say, you've commissioned this research. This gives us really the first official insight into just how much damage and harm these scams cause. We've had lots of anecdotal evidence. Can you talk us through some of your findings?
Yeah, sure. So, I mean, what we found is that generally virtually everybody in the country has received a scam call or text, and 90% of us have. But overall, the total quantifiable harm to our society arising from this is conservatively estimated at around $300 million per annum. About 40% of that is from texts and the remaining from telephone calls.
€300 million euro per annum, approximately 365,000 cases of scams themselves, 89 million annoying, irritating communications, 31 million distressing communications, over 5,000 businesses, the victim of fraud after receiving scam calls and texts. Were you surprised at the scale of all this?
The numbers are pretty stark, and they do pretty much reflect what the research has found. It's probably important, though, sir, to put that in some sort of context. So in Ireland, in a typical year, there's about 2.5 billion SMS messages sent and about 15 billion voice calls. So while the percentage of that is pretty low, probably around 1%, it's nonetheless, it's pretty egregious, as I'm sure you'll agree.
Mm. And indeed, where people are caught, it can cause enormous damage, as we heard from one listener just recently on this programme, €10,000 lost in a Revolut scam. And at the latest we've heard, she's no sign of getting it back. So I suppose the big question on everyone's lips then is, what can you do about it?
Well, Comreg is launched a public consultation today on a suite of interventions that we have designed with the industry to basically try and combat both scam calls and texts. They're quite a comprehensive set of interventions, and they cover both what we would call static interventions, in other words, directed at very particular current matters, but also we have a couple of dynamic interventions because we obviously want to be able to be, for the industry to be flexible and to deal with scams as they evolve, and they will evolve, I'm afraid, as I understand you from your own personal experience, you know that these people are pretty flexible in how they go about their business.
Yeah, indeed. Unfortunately, I do understand. Can you outline then some of these initiatives that you're proposing? We'll start with the fixed call line identification call blocking. What would that involve?
Well, fixed call line identification blocking is effectively to stop fraudsters from spoofing RS numbers from abroad. You know, be that 012345 or whatever. And that would be a very useful intervention because, as you probably know, and probably myself, a recipient of some of these calls, numbers pop up on your phone that might be familiar to you or vaguely familiar to you, but those calls and a lot of these calls originate from abroad. So in the general scheme of things, fixed telephone numbers, you know, your normal geographic numbers, shouldn't be originating overseas. So we need to put an end to that practice.
Okay, and the same with mobile call blocking. So we'll say if you get a text or a call from an 087 number or an 01 number that's actually originating from abroad, those calls should be blocked. That's the idea.
That's the general idea. Now, obviously, we all take the mobile phone for us abroad, so there's a little bit of complexity in designing this particular intervention, so that genuine traffic doesn't get blocked. But that's the general principle of it, yes.
A protected number list, what's that about?
So it's probably as well for me to talk about a protected number list and a do not originate list together. So a do not originate list is where businesses use certain numbers, if you like, for you to call. So typically you'd see one of those numbers on the back of, say, your credit card, your debit card, if you had a problem. But those businesses never use those numbers to make a call. So that's what do not originate means. And in a similar vein, a protected number list is to stop fraudsters from using numbers that are not actually in service.
Okay. I don't understand why that aspect of it would help anybody.
Well, so for example, you could if you get a call from a number that should be protected, it could look like an Irish number, but it's a number that might not actually be in service at the moment.
I understand. All right, okay. Now, an SMS sender... An SMS sender ID protection registry, can you talk me through that?
I surely can. This would be to allow businesses and organisations to register their SMS sender ID with Comrag, in effect, who would create the register, and then we would block all false sender IDs. So, for example, you know, your bank may have, you know, AIB or a version of that in the SMS sender, or sometimes you'll see with scams there's a slight change in that. So instead of AIB, it may be A1B. Or something like that. So it's to stop all that sort of egregious use, like it, of SMS sender ID without killing the service.
Okay, because one of the problems that a lot of people have been caught with is where they get a text from AIB and it's in the same text thread as genuine text they've got from AIB, or like I'm using AIB as an example, but like a service provider, and then that you can really get caught with that because you just think, you know, it's from the same
absolutely.
Number.
It makes them seem very genuine, Sarah. That's the problem with it. So that's a pretty important piece of work that needs to be done to stop that carry on.
Okay, voice firewall. What is that, and how will that work?
Yeah, so I mean that's one of the two dynamic interventions I spoke about. The idea of a voice forward is to basically be able to block spam calls wherever or however they arise, be that Ireland and abroad, and then also to protect against future more sophisticated scams. So it's using technology to its best to allow the industry to be flexible to stop current practice, but also potential future practices, because we certainly know from talking. To other regulators abroad that once one puts interventions in place, other types of approaches to scams also arise. So that's an important step forward. I might also add in that vein is the SMS scam filter, and the idea would be to block scam SMSs and protect against future more sophisticated scams as well. So those two sort of travel in parallel and are sort of a more longer term look, where the other interventions I spoke to are sort of more static, if you like, in their design and more intended for the here and now.
Okay. So if we start with the here and now ones, then do you really need a consultation? I mean, they all make an awful lot of sense. They're pretty fundamental, you would have thought. Could we not just implement them immediately?
Yeah, that's a reasonable question. But we really do need to get the views of all stakeholders to make sure that what we're doing is actually what's required, and actually the best, and that's also the best way forward. And it's a sort of standard normal practice. Comrag is going to impose obligations consequent to this on a number of operators, and so it's part of the normal process for the low people to have the right to reply.
And I assume there will be costs involved in this. Do you have an estimate of how many costs for the static plans that you're talking about, the ones that can be implemented immediately?
Well, I think sure. I think you'll find there's an awful lot of detail in the report. But what we found is that the benefits of these interventions, all the interventions, should outweigh the cost by about 50 to 1, sir.
Okay, but who's going to... what is the cost? I think something like 1.5 billion over the coming 7 years is the estimate. Who's going to pay that?
Well, no, sorry. 1.5 billion is what we estimate will be saved over the next seven years as a consequence of it. Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
So how much will it cost?
The cost of the interventions it will depend from operator to operator. But what you will find is that, as the statistics point out, it's relatively small in the greater scheme of things, and those costs will have to be borne by the networks.
Which I suppose is why you're doing that consultation then. Will networks be given any choice, or will this be mandatory?
Well, you know, ultimately the idea of the consultation, and we published a series of draft decision instruments as well today. So in time, these will become mandatory obligations on the networks. But I should say, you know, we have 15 operators working with us in the Nuisance Communications Task Force, and they've all contributed to the design of these measures. So, and some of them, in fact, have already implemented some of the measures. We're already blocking about 1 million calls a month. As a consequence of some very early initial interventions, so they will work, and the industry has certainly rolled inwards on this.
Okay, so just to be clear, it will be mandatory once this is decided. Whatever steps need to be taken, everyone will have to do it. All the different networks and service providers will. Okay, I wonder, George, why this wasn't done before now. I know in many other countries, America as an example, you know, the communications regulator years ago required all U.S. mobile phone operators to use technology to verify caller ID before a call reaches the consumer. You know, as an example, you know, are we way behind the curve here?
No, I don't believe so. I mean, the FCC in the United States is still implementing its door-shaking intervention currently, Sarah. And that's a different type of intervention than we have, because what one finds in the United States is that robocalls, marketing robocalls, is a big source of their problem. And those calls basically originate within the United States. Problem is somewhat different for us here in Europe, because most calls originate outside of the country. And that's not just the case here in Ireland, but also in other countries. So what we find, and we speak regularly to other European countries, but we also speak to a lot of the operators in the Anglosphere, including the FCC in the United States, because just by virtue of the fact that we speak English, we tend to get greater instances of this. So I think Ireland is actually not that much further behind anybody else. Coming back to your early question of why is this the issue in the first instance? I mean, you've got to understand that when we talk about the telephone network, we're talking about probably hundreds or even thousands of different networks that are all interconnected. Technology is all different on them, and they've all been designed for a very long time to connect people, not to block calls. So hence the need for comprehensive interventions that will actually work. And that's been the focus of our efforts. But the interventions that we're doing today are very similar to what colleagues have been doing in the likes of Australia, Canada, United Kingdom, etc. And as we talked, we share notes quite a lot.
Okay, so the consultation runs until the 28th of July, which is not a huge amount of time away. How soon before we can expect to see some of these measures implemented?
We would hope to come around the matter and make a formal decision before the end of the current year.
Make a formal decision, as in they would be implemented before the end of the year.
We would make the formal decision, and then they must be implemented thereafter. And just timescales in the consultation for each one of those interventions proposed, and industry and other stakeholders get a chance to communicate to us on those particular timescales.
Okay, and what are those timescales? Can you tell me?
They range from as little as 6 months to, and some of them go as far as 18 months.
So it could be a year and a half before. If we take it from now, it could be 2 years before some of these measures are implemented.
I mean, some of these things, you know, for example, creating firewalls that will work right across the industry, right across all the various networks, is not a simple thing to do. And I know the people listening in, they might find that difficult to understand. But, you know, ultimately, these interventions have to work, and they are very complex.
All right. And just finally, then, I know the more dynamic measures that you've talked about will need legislative change. Is that something that you've already been in communication with government about?
Just to one of them, the SMS one will need some legislative change, and we've been engaging with our colleagues in the Department of Communications on that now for some time. So we're optimistic that will get brought forward soon enough. Our existing numbering powers will cover all the other ones.
Well, it's very good to talk to you, and thank you for joining us to talk us through the plans. That's George Merrigan, Director of Market Framework with ComRegulator. You can let us know what you think to 51551.